Greetings in Jesus' name. We're Ben and Sadie Stolzfuth. Those of you that don't know us, we're blessed to be here today. And I just want to thank all the friends that came here today to listen to Sadie's testimony. And that includes everyone sitting here today. You're all our friends. I just want to say that Sadie came here to share her testimony, and if it's okay with everybody, I'm just going to stay up here with her.
I don't think you can see that I'm trembling, but I really am. A verse that I read this morning in our devotional book just stuck in my heart, and it reads, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." It's in Hebrews 10:22. When I sat down to write my testimony, I didn't know where to start or stop, and I don't want to take up a whole lot of time. So I want to try and do my best. When I look back on my growing up years, I see myself as a very insecure girl who was always trying to feel accepted and loved, but not really knowing if I was. I was also often rebellious and angry. I loved the outdoors, so I was often told by my family that I'm more of a tomboy, and that hurt sometimes. I know my mother was probably often frustrated with me because I really didn't have an interest learning the things that a girl should. But I want to bless my parents for what they did teach me and the good morals that I want to pass on to my children, to our children. It seemed with all my insecurities, I looked for love and acceptance in all the wrong places. I see now that I had a deep void in my life and was trying to fill it. When as a girl between the ages of 10 and 13 years old, I was molested. And it happened more than a few times. And because I was more of an outdoor girl and was more of a tomboyish girl, I was blamed for those incidents. Nobody knew of the fear that I had of a few certain boys, and I carried that fear with me for years, and it kept me from ever sharing those incidents with my parents or anyone. I thought that if I would, nobody would care for me. So I would try even harder to do things so I would be noticed. Ben and I started dating when I was 17, and it makes me so sad when I think what a sinful state that we lived in. Our dating life was not pure, and we had our ups and downs and disagreements. We never prayed together or read our Bible together. God could have ended our life, and we certainly would have gone to hell. But praise God, He spared our lives. Before we were married, I poured out my heart to Ben and shared with him all that had happened to me when I was a little girl. Part of my burden was lifted just being able to share with someone. But it still seemed I had that fear in my heart. After Ben and I were back together this spring, and after I was born again, we got all those incidents and laid them out on the table and just worked through them. And I asked forgiveness for my part in those incidents and forgiveness for the other people that were involved. And I had a very clear sense of freedom in that. Ben and I got married when I was 21, and when he was 21 and I was 19. Our first years of marriage went fairly well, and I have many fun memories of things that happened. but through the years we slowly drifted apart. I had a longing for the deeper things in life, and Ben was going the opposite way. We both had a huge void in our heart, and we each tried to fill it in our own way. More and more, I was becoming a wife who thought she knew what the problem was in this marriage, and that was Ben. So I tried in my own strength to be good and righteous, especially in front of other people. And I tried to control Ben, which kept him from having any desire to even try and be a leader in this home. It makes me sad when I think how often I just stepped ahead of Ben and became the leader. I know God has forgiven me of those sins, and I ask forgiveness from my children and my husband. There was a lot of verbal abuse between Ben and I, a lot of arguments, and it seemed like a never-ending circle. Ben had a very bad temper, and there were times when the children and I were fearful. But I have every reason to think, and with a thankful heart, I can say that God delivered my husband from that. The man that I know, that I knew back then, is not the same man that I'm married to now. In the spring of 2007, a few incidents happened that Ben became desperate for a change in his life. He started searching for something, and he found the truth and was born again. I know he would agree with me that the year of 2007 was filled with struggle after struggle. You just have to picture it. Here I had been all these years trying to live a life that was good and right, outside of my husband's leadership. Now all of a sudden he found the truth and wanted to make any change in our family, and it turned me against him totally. In my heart, I was sure that if only Ben would straighten out and be a man, things would be okay. Through this time, I had no desire to even be married to him anymore. Ben and I tried a few counselors, and we spent some time at Life Ministries. And we look back now and can see that it was all a part of bringing us to the place where we are today. We thank God for the help we received at those places. In January 2008, Ben got put out of the church for attending Bible studies and coming here to this church. At that point, I had almost no hope that our marriage could ever be made right again. But you must keep in mind that I had a plan that I thought was the right plan to save our marriage, and that was for Ben to shape up and come back to the Amish church. I came to the point where I started thinking, well, if Ben isn't Amish, then we can't live together. My thoughts just ran away sometimes. I know that I cried out to God many times, and I think he heard me, but I wanted things to go my way. Behind the scenes were friends, family, and others who supported me in moving away from Ben. Because in our circle of friends and church, we were always taught that whoever leaves the church, there is no hope that he'll get to heaven. So in a sense, my friends and family were dooming my husband to hell, and I was right there helping them. I was very strong in knowing that I was right and Ben was wrong. In June of 2008, the children and I moved a quarter mile up the road from Ben, and for 10 months we lived apart. In my spirit, I was divorced from Ben and had been for a long time. Those 10 months were filled with many different emotions. I went through periods of feeling so low that I didn't know where to turn. Then someone would praise me and say, "Yes, you're doing the right thing." It makes me sad to think how much praise and honor was poured on me from others who thought I'm on the right track. One thing I must say, I became very good at drawing strength from those praises, and often it was what kept me going. I started keeping a journal, and reading that journal now, it shows me how much I was crying out to God. I knew there was a God, and I believed in Jesus, but I never experienced his love and grace and mercy in its real beauty. As time went on, I felt more and more that I'm not living as Scripture reads. I didn't know what to do with verses such as Ephesians 5 or 1 Peter 3, where it talks about the wives being submissive to their husbands and the husbands being under Christ. When I would bring these verses up to people, they would say they wouldn't know what to do with them either, or they would say, well, that doesn't apply to you because Ben isn't with the church anymore. I began to feel very frustrated, and in February of this year, I went through a few weeks of not being able to sleep, and I got very depressed. I came to a point where I knew that I no longer wanted to be apart from Ben, and I worked through forgiveness, having a forgiving heart for things that happened in the past, and God granted me that. God was convicting me to move back to Ben and try to accept the situation. I thought I could still be Amish and he could go to his church, but we could still be together as husband and wife. At that point, I still had many things that I wanted to do my way. For the next few months, I got a lot of pressure from church, family, and friends that tried to do everything to keep us apart. They knew the children didn't really want to move back, so that was often put to my face. And instead of encouraging the children in the way the Scripture reads, they put more fear in their hearts. It makes me sad when I think of all the darkness that I helped plant into our children's minds. God, forgive me. I often cry, and I know that He has, because I found the Lord to be very faithful. As time went on, my body was wearing down emotionally and physically until one morning I just crashed. And the Lord let it happen down on the farm at Ben's feet. I cried for hours, and the next 12 or 15 hours were some of the most painful ones I went through, which made me end up going to Life Ministries for 2 weeks. It was a time of deep soul searching, and I did a lot of reading in my Bible and also other good reading. It seemed I had time to go through my entire life and search it out. God kept calling me and convicting me. Every time Ben came to see me, we kept drawing closer together. The last 24 hours that I was at Life Ministries, I fiercely battled with God, and as the hours went by, I felt God calling me, urging me to fully surrender to Him. I do truly believe that in a sense, Jesus was with me through the years, but I never fully surrendered to Him. I don't know if that makes sense. I do because our marriage was so wrong and I was in my rightful place. I couldn't fully surrender to God. I thought I always knew who the problem was, and that was Ben. But more and more, God was bringing me to my knees that I was also part of the problem. That last evening that Ben came to see me didn't go very well, and I see it as the Lord's hand in that. I think the Lord wanted me alone with Him. So Ben went to bed, and I went for a walk up in the woods. I cried out to God. I said, Lord, where are You? And it just seemed like He was working inside, saying, surrender to Me. Give your whole heart to Jesus, not just part of it. But in my heart, I knew what that meant, and I knew that if I fully surrendered to God, then the next step would be surrendering to my husband and be a part of his life and going with him to church and being one with him in everything. So I came to a crossroad up there in the woods. On the one side was my church, my friends, families, dear children, and all seemed okay. But when I looked on the other side, I could see Ben standing alone. And yet there were people in the background, and I would like to think that it was all you dear friends and brothers and sisters here. people that had accepted Ben, and Jesus beckoning me to come. Come closer, dear child. I would never leave you nor forsake you. The road looked narrow and steep because I knew if I took that path, I would be forsaken and rejected. So praise God, my most precious friend Jesus knows how that feels. Jesus kept calling to me, "Come all ye who are heavy laden, I will give you rest." And I longed for that. I went back to the apartment knowing what God wanted me to do. But I prayed to him for one more sign. I guess I was stubborn. I got my Bible and I very clearly remember that I just prayed and I let the Bible fall open. And it opened up to Matthew 19, and I read it through. And the last couple verses just jumped out at me. And it reads, "And everyone that hath forsaken houses, brothers, sisters, father, mother, wife, or children, or lands for my name's sake shall receive a hundredfold blessing and everlasting life." And praise God, I've experienced that. I just started to cry because God had given me the sign that I was looking for. I could finally experience the true peace and happiness of a full surrender to Jesus Christ, and I gave him my whole heart. I later woke Ben up and told him what happened. You know, he had been praying all this time, and still he could hardly believe it. But it was one of the most precious experiences that Ben and I have ever had. Now we were together. We were complete in Christ Jesus. And even though we knew that we had many battles ahead of us, we were together. Going back to my teen years, I got baptized when I was 16. And I remember on the day of baptism that I felt pretty good. But no change of heart happened, and my very sinful life went on. The Bible was not my favorite book. I remember reading it, but not. It just wasn't my favorite book. When I sat to read down to read, it would be with a romance novel or something in that order. I desire to be baptized today upon my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I've had many struggles coming to this point, but I praise God for helping me through those. I still have a lot to learn, and I would be thankful if you see a need that you would come to me, because I'm still a new babe in Christ. We are very blessed to have our children with us, and I would ask for prayer for our family. We've not been without struggles and trials, but I've learned that it has brought us closer to God, closer to each other, and it has helped us to fully trust in Him when there was nowhere else to turn to. So please pray for us and our children, and I also thank you and give glory and honor to God for all the prayers that you, dear friends, brothers, and sisters, and little children have prayed for me before you even knew me or ever met me. Your faith in God helped to bring Ben and I back together. After my surrender to Jesus, and Ben and I were back together, we would often sing the song Amazing Grace. It's been one of Ben's favorites for years, and I often sang it myself. Following the weeks of my conversion were very stressful and hurtful, as some of you know, and it brought a new meaning to this old-time favorite, because every day God gave us grace to see through each trial, each hurtful word, and each struggle. Because some of you were so involved in our lives at that time, I would like for all of us to sing it together in honor to God for what he has done in our lives. So let us sing, how many verses shall we sing? Whatever. The whole thing. Okay. I don't know if I could start it.
Amazing grace.
Thank you each one for sharing. It's a joy to see the glory of God on your faces as you share, and to just to reflect on the mighty power of God working in our hearts, bringing us to salvation, yes, through the prayers of the saints working in our hearts. And let us remember to pray for these, especially Brother Iyer and his wife, and Ben and Sadie. I know that they will face some more struggles. But we're here as a body, and the body works together. If there's one member hurting, then there's others that can come alongside and pick them up and minister to them. So that's a part of the body of Christ. It's God's design. So let it be that way.